Oh, this now I've got big news for you. You know how I've talked before about my sleeping mask on this? I had a sleep test and CPAC.
That's right. CPAC. Is that the brand name?
Or that's a really good question. I've got a ResiMed one. But anyway, I went on the project last week and
name dropper.
No, yeah, whatever. Project. And I talked about my CPAC and my. Because I do stand up about it now, which has been very good for my stand up. And got an email the next day from the ResiMed company and never say dreams don't come true because they want me to be an ambassador for CPAC.
But hang on.
They want me to promote. Well, I haven't talked money with them yet, but I'm doing it right now.
They're not going to pay you anything.
Oh, I look, yeah, that's an issue. You know what you think when you think medical stuff? You think small company.
Yeah. They're worldwide.
Just dad and mum just sending out the CPAC machine. They are a billion-dollar worldwide company. Billion-dollar. Don't underestimate medical equipment. That they have a lot of cash. They have a lot of coins.
With some good dollars, probably. Except a friend of mine was asked to be the man who couldn't get an erection. Man.
Oh, yeah.
He goes, I'm not doing that. I'm going, it's a lot of money.
Yeah,
I'm not doing that. I'm not being.
I'd do that. But this is the thing. Like, when I tell everyone in the audience at stand-up gigs I've been asked to be the ambassador, people all clap.
Why?
They think it's a good thing. Like, hang on, that's not good, guys. What's next, Viagra or adult nappies? You know, like. And so then I say, so what do you have to do? And the guy, the company says, you just got to promote it. And then if you see anyone who's potentially a customer, you know, give them the hard sell. So that's when I was looking at a fat guy in the audience. I go, Gary, you want to talk to me?
Yeah. Yeah, try this. Yeah, it's like the, hey, you look a bit, it's the classic ad, isn't it? Hey, you look a bit tired. I do, Dave, I'm really tired. What? What's the problem? Just can't sleep properly.
Yeah.
Well, you need a CPAC. What do you mean?
Surely you've been asked to be the ambassador for, I've been the ambassador for bowel cancer was one I did for a while. I had to do an ad where I was sitting on a toilet.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, I did, but I said, I'm leaving my pants on. I've got some standards. I was reading a paper and I went, hey, everyone. It's Dave O'Neill here.
I never saw this.
No, I think it was only New South Wales. That's one of the reasons I did it. I don't go to New South Wales that often. Yeah, I did that. But then my best one was that I was the, I think it was Caitlin used to describe it, as I was the face of fat. So an oil company came to me and wanted someone to promote their cooking fat for fish and chip shops. And they wanted someone to appeal to the fish and chip shop owners. That was me. So I used to be the face of fat. I used to be on their newsletter. I did like ads for them and stuff.
I read the
face of fat.
I don't know whether it's rumored not to be true, but that McDonald's fat from their chips helps baldness.
Oh yeah,
they said that it didn't, but I think the product in there does. But I think that'd be quite a good thing if you're at McDonald's. I'll have some a Big Mac, some fries, and
Some hair. Thanks very much. Well, Ronald McDonald always had very good hair, so get a bit of hair like him. So you've never been approached to be the ambassador spokesperson for something? You would have,
yeah,
for
I
sure.
Do. And Ross Coy's been approached for a bit. I wish
a lot of bush issues.
Yeah.
A lot of rural ones.
Oh, it's terrible. I just need my email to...
Well, this is the thing, though, is that you look at it and you just go, oh, no way, and then you forget about it.
Well, the reason you don't do it is because it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
You're not just giving your name.
Yeah.
You've got to go do live appearances. You've got to do television interviews. You've got to do radio interviews. You've got to do the, you know, it's not.
Someone asked me about Saab once, or Saab or some company, because people like Vince Colosimo, they get a free Saab for a year. Yeah. And just to promote, and I said, so Bill, what do I have to do? Oh, you've got to appear at the races three times. You've got to go to these lunches. Like, thanks.
Free lunch. And then you get, I call it the Santa Claus clause. It's like, you know how we gave you a free car? Can you do Santa Claus at the Christmas party?
Yeah.
Well, we did give you a free car. You can't say no. So I go, you know what? I'd rather pay for my car and you leave me alone.
Exactly. You know?
So it's not as much, hey, showbiz isn't as it's cracked up to be.
Anyway, while I've got you here, are you interested in the CPAC or?
Well, I think I do sore on occasion, but when I had my nose.
You're not fat though, so.
So.
Look,
is that something that would be the problem? Would be that you?
It's a lot of fat people get them.
That you actually, I don't want to say this, but you nearly die.
Yeah, when you're sleeping. And it is, it tends to be overweight men. So it's like, seriously, go get your CPAC is like going to the Krispy Kreme shop at the airport. It's like a line of fat blokes.
Because the nose closes over.
The throat closes over. And then it goes. Yeah.
And you have no recollection of it.
None at all. None at all.
So, but, and now how's the CPAC?
Well, it's getting better. I'm getting used to it. But the thing is, someone did tell me about this. You fart more because it's blowing more oxygen in your mouth. So, there's a lot of good things about getting a CPAC, Glenn. No sex with your partner ever again, and you fart a lot. Are you interested? here comes the music.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Anyway, you're welcome to the program, Glenn Robbins.
Podcast. It's on the BBC.
A program. My name's Dave O'Neill. I'm a CPAC ambassador.
Hello.
Unofficial.
Do we have any listeners in the UK?
Yeah, there are. There are some. Yeah. There are some. Hello, Gov.
I haven't been to the UK for a while, but I've got a bit of a hankering.
I'm going soon. I love it. I love the UK.
When I first went there, I remember it was like visiting my cousin's place.
Everything's a bit familiar.
Yeah. Hello, Gov. Hey, can I have that? Hey, Gov, you all right? Here you go.
Oh, it's exciting.
Yeah.
It's a good place.
So, somehow related, Dave O'Neill, CPAC sponsor. CPAC.
Unofficial ambassador.
Unofficial ambassador.
I'll see you
doing some
ad?
Yeah.
Infomercial?
Well, then again, pays the rent. It's not, you're not hurting anybody. You're helping people.
Yeah, it's right.
I did do one for the Christian Television Association, but that was not an ad for the Christian Television.
They're always weird, those ads, aren't they? Yeah. They used to be weird. I used to do jokes about them in the 90s. They're not on anymore, those ads.
Yeah.
They'd always be like something really obtuse or obscure, and then we'd get close to up and we'd go, Jesus is your friend. Like, oh my God, what? I remember a great sketch on Full Frontal that had Eric Banner walking along as like a pointer bogan, and he saw a priest and he goes, excuse me, mate, I saw one of those Christian television ads last night and I think I'd like to know more about Jesus. And it's got the unexpected or unbelievable. Excuse me, mate. Okay, let's get the topics. We get two topics and we've got to work out how they're related. Here we go.
Santa Claus and magic mushrooms.
Okay. Two things that I used to believe in.
Santa, I can say,
and the magic mushies.
You play Santa. I'm celibate. Celibate?
Celibate means you don't have sex.
I know, but in terms of drugs.
Oh no, you're a clean skin. You're a but have you ever had magic mushrooms?
Oh no,
never.
I was in Bali recently. I was walking on an island off Bali, and there was like you could buy
On pizzas and stuff, can't you?
Yeah, and you can have a smoothie.
Oh. Yeah.
And I play golf with a psychiatrist I'm making that very clear, okay?
Yeah, right.
Not that it's a bad thing to see a psychiatrist.
No.
People need it. I was going to say. And he was saying one day we might all do it.
Why? What, your golfing crew?
Yeah.
You and why?
Because he said it's an incredible.
He's like Timothy Leary, you know, those LSD guys who believe that it's. Opens up the soul and
gets people say, spirit going. You know, the research shows that it's within the top three things of experiences in people's life when they
what?
I'm not lying.
I've done them.
You've done it.
Of course. Well, I grew up in the outer suburbs, and you know when you're like
interesting.
70, 80.
I've never met that many people who've done it.
Magic mushrooms.
Oh, yeah.
You been to a comedy room? You ever talked to the other comedians?
Now I'm interested.
So. When we lived in a shared house, my older brother Mark, he used to grow marijuana in the backyard, right?
Yeah.
That dad would water.
Yeah.
But
unknowingly.
Yeah, it looks like a tomato plant.
Yeah.
But then what would happen was that being in the suburbs, the word would get around there's marijuana plants. As soon as there was a leaf on it, some kid would jump the fence and steal it, right?
Yeah, right.
And so then him and his mates got into magic mushrooms because Warren died or something like that. They would grow, but you've got to be careful picking mushrooms.
Yeah,
but he had some mate who was a so-called expert. There's always some stoner. He knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. They're the blue tops, man. Yeah. And so he would get these mushrooms and dry them. And then we were all sitting around the share house one day. And shared house. All men. And he said.
Nothing to do.
Nothing to do. I mean, we often had
video games, really, wasn't it?
It was before video. We had a pinball machine in that shared house.
And you didn't have, do you have VCR?
Nah. So you had a TV? You had a TV. We had a TV, and we had girlfriends, actually. We went, I don't know.
You were cool.
We were cool. We weren't that cool, but as Noddy, who was the only one who had a job, there was five in the house and four on the dole. And he said, when I left for work, you guys were in your pajamas playing pinballs. When I came home from work, you were in your pajamas playing the pinball machine. And in fact, it got so, when we went to the local Centrelink, the guy said, 261 Barker's Road. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's quite a few of you on the dole in the house. And then he goes, you having a good time, are you, mate? Yeah, thanks. Having a great time. Yeah. And
so next step, magic mushroom.
Yeah, and so we were bored, and we'd either finished uni or had gone to uni, you know, and someone said, let's try magic mushrooms. And so we took them, and then we went bowling, which is the worst thing to do. And I still remember, we got the bus, and we went to the Southern Cross Hotel. It's not there anymore. That's the one where the Beatles went. Yeah, in the city. Yeah. In Melbourne. Yeah, yeah. And they had an underground bowling thing. We went bowling, but then the mushrooms started to kick in.
About how long?
Oh, it took about half an hour, an hour.
And off your tree?
No, oh, it's terrible. I hated it.
Did you get scared?
Yeah, I hated it. I would not recommend it or do it again.
Because they say that like 1 in 10 is like horrific.
Some people don't come back from it. That's the problem with psychotic drugs, is that occasionally it'll
open up gateways.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And so if you have it's like really bad, like really strong. I don't know if you've smoked a joint lately. I haven't.
I'm smoking one now. There's one over there in the ashtray.
Is that what it is?
How do you think we do this program,
dude? Oh, God. But the marijuana that the kids have these days is really strong, as opposed to the stuff that was grown in backyards. But, and so I started seeing then we went to a disco. We went to like a nightclub. Still, there were no girls with us, just four or five guys. And I would see double of people and stuff like that. And then I just went, oh, I got to go. And so I just walked home from the where we were. And I went to bed. But before I went to bed, I rang my ex-girlfriend. That was a good move. On the landline. Hey, how are you?
And it didn't go well?
No, I think she actually said, have you been drinking or something? Like, oh, we took magic mushrooms. Anyway, I wouldn't recommend it.
But they are using it for people medically who are dying, who have a fear of death.
They
give it to them. They microdose, and then they do it over 2 or 3 times, and they go up to a full dose. And some people are having an incredible experience, like an enlightening experience.
Yeah,
it changes them, so they know that they discover that there's more to it than they first thought, and they get more. I guess they become egoless.
Yeah, right. So it's not unlike my memory of it. It's not unlike being really drunk,
right?
But you do feel like I felt like my brain was spinning around in my head. That's what I felt like, and I didn't like it at all. I did not like it at all.
Right.
Because you know when you have a few drinks, and I don't know if people know this, but it starts a chemical imbalance or whatever in your brain, and you relax and stuff. It's a similar vibe, but then it just gets really.
And did you
like the Beatles, you know, movies.
Did you see colours?
Yeah, yep. Colours, throbbing, stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so you didn't take anything away from it in any way?
No. My only takeaway was never do it again.
Yeah, but maybe you're in the 10% who have – but it didn't harm you.
No.
It didn't make you become
– No, I didn't go psychotic or anything. No, not at all.
Anyway, I'm reporting you to the police anyway.
Yeah, it's illegal. It's illegal.
But – that's interesting because some people say it's blunt instrument as far as medically.
Yeah.
It's kind of random, but for some people, incredible. I have a friend of mine who goes away and he has it every time he goes away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they love it.
They go to Bali and that's part of apparently doing the business on it. Doing
right, yeah. Having the adult horizontal dancing.
Yeah, yes.
Closest I got was ringing my ex-girlfriend.
Apparently
that's amazing, is it?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, anyway.
Oh, like when you're drunk? No. Yeah.
I wonder if Sam's ever done
Foster's Flop.
I wonder what Sam thinks about psilocybin. Yeah.
Oh, well, magic mushrooms, yeah.
Magic mushrooms. I don't know. Cake. If there are kids out there listening.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
But.
I understand that when you're young and that you're because, see, you know what? In our day, it was very hard to get drugs. So we didn't know anyone with drugs. These days, it's much easier drugs. And so these days, kids are taking pills like ecstasy and that. That wasn't around when we were young.
No.
None of that stuff was around. There was marijuana and magic mushrooms, stuff from the ground. The
research is coming out now that they're showing that most people, when they have an addictive drug. Again, I shouldn't be quoting on this. It was on a podcast, so it must be right.
It must be right.
That they don't get addicted, but there's a small percentage.
Yeah, they do get addicted. Oh, addicted. Definitely. Same with alcohol. Same with alcohol.
Yeah. So, and they're saying that a lot of the time it's not just people who are idiots trying to have a good time. They're actually dealing with mental illness and pain.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah. So, underpinned all of this, and there is a role, they say, for heroin, because, I mean, if you go into hospital, you get morphine, a similar sort of drug. So your nana, who's having a bit of pain with her hip,
a bit of morphine.
She's loving everybody. I had morphine not that long ago, and I just felt like
you liked it.
I liked everybody because you know what I'm like. I don't like anybody.
Yeah, and it made you a lot happier and stuff.
Well, I was in hospital and they gave it to me. Thank God. I'm in the right place.
You went in an opium den. Yeah, I had morphine, but it made me vomit when I was in hospital. I didn't like it at all.
Don't tell me that, because they did tell me that.
Yeah, it made me vomit.
I was fine with it. I was just free. And then I went home and someone broke into my car.
It was probably you. You're probably a junkie. You didn't know. Broke it into my own car.
Mate, I was trying to steal some stuff to get some more heroin,
it's a terrible drug.
I stole something from myself.
It's a terrible drug, but once you get to about 85, might as well get on it.
Yeah.
Get on it. I should tell my dad. Kev. Yeah. Get on the bloody heroin, mate.
Oh, look, anyway. So.
You already own a tracksuit.
I bought a new tracksuit.
Imagine a pensioner heroin addict. G'day, mate. How you going? Oh, bloody Kev. He's always hanging around the RSL. Asking for money. Hocking his medals.
Not again. I want to buy a second wheel.
Oh, I'm going to get the train to Box Hill. You're not, Kevin. Tell us the truth. Tell us the truth. Okay.
So, again, this is intriguing. I love it when
Santa. You've played Santa. We've heard about you as Santa spitting on children.
Yes, I did spit on children and upset everybody. The most I've ever been groped is as Santa.
Oh, I played Santa. Did you get groped? Times. Yeah, but I did it for a work group once, and I did it for... And
the girls groped you, obviously. I'm not saying the guys groped you.
The guys had a crack too. And then I did it for the kids' kinder day. Where I got replaced next year by an opera singer. It's quite hurtful.
It is hurtful, isn't it?
Well, the problem was I got to the kinder, and this is when my oldest was like 14. It's late developer. No, so he was 4, and the woman goes, I just get there, I'm like, I'm chatting to everyone, and the kids are singing songs, and she goes, you're on after the next song. You're on after what song do they sing? One of the big ones. Reindeers are coming to town or whatever. And it was only like 3 minutes to get changed in my outfit. Yeah. And I hadn't worn the outfit before. And I put it on. And honestly, and then the song finished. And she's like, you're on. So I had to run out with this sack and my pants fell down. And so I could hear like an audible gasp. And one woman sort of screamed. And then I heard my son. And I said, and anyway, I pulled him up and I'm like, oh, ho, 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 do, 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 do. And then anyway, I had to give out the presents to the kids. Yeah. They all had a book each, right? Yeah. And then on the way home in the car, my wife goes to my son, what did you think of Santa? And he goes, yeah, he had the same undies that Dad's got. And then the next year, they got the opera singer to do it.
You know the big giveaway, though? The tip for a good Santa outfit is the sideburns. Because you got the beard.
Oh, yes.
Because sometimes the hat doesn't match up with the – so you got to pull the hat right down to cover up your ears and the – but if the hat's too high, you're going, you're the girl that works in – you're the dishwasher who works in the kitchen. We had my mum's nursing home the other day. She came out and I'm going
– as Santa?
Yeah.
A bit early?
Oh, no. I want to say other day, last Christmas.
Yeah, right. They had a female Santa.
Female, which is good.
That's cool.
There should be more.
Well, I went to Santa school once. To film a story or something, to do a report for some show I was doing, and it got really heated because – so these are all the guys that did Meyer and stuff, Santa's, right? And so they're like the – they're all fat old guys, right?
Yeah.
That do Santa. There was about 30 of them, and they've got to go to this training day, right?
Yeah.
And then one stood up and said, look, are we going to do anything about the air conditioning in the grottos? Oh, yeah. Because last year I was – and some of the Mrs. Clauses were there as well and the elves.
Yeah.
And last year I was there at whatever, Chadston or wherever, I can't remember, and – I just had one fan and I'm working 8 hours and it's incredibly hot. And then one of the Mrs. Claus went up. Yes, that's right. We need it. And they had this big, they had a big like fight about it. And the representative's going, okay, okay, guys, let's just calm down here. I'm not calming down.
I'm bloody Santa Claus and I'll stand my ground.
Yeah, all I want for Christmas is an aircon, because that's hard work doing that.
Oh, Santa. Anytime you wear it, I mean, I think there's law in you can't wear a certain costume. Oh. If you wear it, like if you wear those ones that are complete body.
Like a fat cat or something. Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
I remember I was doing a golf charity day and Humphrey Bear was there. Big day, showbiz.
Was he smoking out the back? How's he going?
No, he was. I went into the change room and he'd taken his, he was just in.
In his pants.
In his furry legs.
Yeah.
And he had the top off. And he's having a fair going, fuck, it's right out there, isn't it? And yeah. Humphrey. He's up, buddy.
What a wonderful friend is Humphrey.
But yeah, it's hard. Anytime you do Santa, it's always going to be hard work. And another thing that occurred to me the other day, if I came to you, right, and I said, I've got this idea for Christmas.
Yeah.
Where we get an old guy, put him in a costume. He's from the North Pole. Okay. So he's got a big beard and he wears a red outfit and he's got reindeers and everything. And we put him in a big chair and you bring your kids and you put them up on his lap.
Yeah, that's weird. You take that to Shark Tank, they knock it back. Yeah,
exactly.
They'll be going, I'm out. The one from Boost Juice, I'm out.
On paper, it doesn't work.
No, it's a weird concept.
It's a weird concept.
Very weird. And then he comes into your house.
Yeah.
He comes to your house and leaves presents.
So, is it true or not that I believe that it actually goes for, because did Coca-Cola have something to do with it?
Yeah, they commercialized Santa. So it goes back to St. Nicholas, doesn't it? And pagan stuff.
Okay, so they grabbed it.
Made the chubby red Santa. The chubby one.
The other Santa, the real Santa.
Oh, it goes back ages to the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They commercialised it.
It goes back to the North Pole and all that, doesn't it? I think, in the Northern. Yeah, they commercialised it.
So he's kind of real, but not real. But it's a story, obviously.
It's a story, yeah.
Did some bloke wander around giving away...
I think so. St. Nicholas, yeah. So he did something at that time of the year. I don't know.
Do you still hold the thread over your kids?
Oh, yeah. They still believe in Santa. So we were in the chemist one day, and when my daughter was about five, and it was around Christmas time, and she was misbehaving, and the woman, the chemist, said, "Tell her that Santa is always watching."
Yeah,
I said, "Hey, Santa is always watching," and she said, "Good, I want a new bike."
Bang!
Smashed it out of the park.
Yeah,
Santa. Yeah, now kids still believe to a certain age. Yeah, I mean, you know, as I say to the kids, Santa is real. He just has a few helpers. He's very busy. Have you ever read the Raymond Briggs Santa? It's a great book. It's a picture book about Santa, and it's a cartoon where he's sort of like a normal bloke, and he works one time a year, and he goes out, and it shows him delivering, you know, presents in England to the Queen, and it's a good book.
See, the good thing to do with Santa is if you've got someone who's still a believer in the house, you go, "I think Santa was here last night," and you go out and you sprinkle talcum powder.
Oh yeah,
on your feet, and it gives you a footprint of.
Oh wow!
And he walked off over there, and we had someone at our house, and I went, "I think Santa was here last night. Come over, have a look." And she looks in Santa's footprints, and she goes, "You did that last year."
Cynical.
And she goes, "I think I can smell talcum powder." Oh, stop it,
come
please.
On! Yeah, he always eats the biscuit, and the reindeer eats the carrot. Yeah. That's what normally happens with old Santa.
Or don't you leave alcohol?
Yeah, you can leave a drink. Yeah, leave a beer.
Have you ever been caught putting the presents out?
Got close to being caught. Yes. Yeah.
What time do the kids? Your kids get up?
Well, it's Christmas Day. They can get up early, 6 or 7. They're pretty good because they're getting older. But
are they allowed to open before you come out?
No. You got to wait till everyone's there.
And what are you talking? Three presents per child?
Yeah, no. I mean, this is what I tell my kids. I remember when I was a kid, I got one present. So I remember getting a Thunderbird model, a dinky metal toy. I think I got number 4 or 3.
Which was the
bluey kind of one. I think it's 3.
No, two's the one that the pod one. One was the rocket. Three was the 4 was the underwater one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I might have got 4. Anyway, my brother would get one and I would get the other one. And that's all we got. And we were happy with that.
Yeah, that's right.
Nowadays, I look at all the stuff, I'm like, oh my God, look at all this stuff you kids get.
Yeah, but
spoiled.
But you talk to your parents. What did you get for Christmas? I used to get an apple.
Yeah, an orange. Yeah, a bit of coal if I was naughty.
Yeah. This year I got apple and some grapes. Oh, good year for you. And my dad used to get like a bottle of beer or something.
Oh, really?
It's just like, you know, big deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's just, I don't want to complain about that. It's just these days they.
Well, they get everything.
They get everything.
You know, everything.
Bloody, gee. Anyway.
All right. So, what are we thinking? Have you got an idea?
Santa.
Santa and magic mushrooms. All right. I think I've got something.
But I think I've got something.
Okay. Well, can we have some Christmas music? Some kind of Christmas music.
Oh, look, ching, ching, ching.
Whoa, sorry, don't be racist. What are you talking about? What's ching, ching, ching?
Ching, ching, ching.
Dun, 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 dun. Another one. Hoss up. And so there'll be some kind of Christmas music.
Yeah, there will be some generic Christmas music. But does it make you feel weird when you hear Christmas music and it's not Christmas?
Yeah, it does a bit.
But I don't know, is there anything? What about something psychedelic?
Oh, yeah. Let's do some psychedelic tripping music, man. Bit of sitar. Because the Beatles experimented with acid and mushrooms and stuff, and that's where they came up with Sgt. Pepper and all that stuff. And the Beach Boys with Pet Sounds, that was all drug influenced. Yeah, man.
There's a documentary you can make.
Oh, it's probably been made.
And the music made in terms of drugs.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and then there's heroin, like with Nirvana and bands like that.
Yeah.
Interesting. If there's a difference in the music styles of the heroin person opposed to the acid person.
So many things I need to try before. Oh, this should be on my bucket list.
Yeah.
Do some magic mushrooms.
Take them and we'll do a podcast.
It would be interesting to do a little documentary where I go, okay, I'm going to do it, and you can film me.
Yeah.
Would it be interesting?
It would be interesting, but often people freak out.
Well, you have you do it now. If you do it medically, they have someone with you. You go to a place where you go, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And you sit there and you go, okay, I'm freaking out.
Mm.
Okay, you've got now you've turned into a dragon. You go, I'm not a dragon. I'm your friend here holding your hand.
Maybe do your other one. Just do the hang glider first. That's another bucket list. We go on a safari.
Yeah,
shoot an elephant. Charming stuff that people have on it. All right, got some psychedelic music. I was back there. Pretty psychedelic. All right.
Just close your eyes. It's not a bad, you know, you know that a lot of the time you're not with drugs, you're not actually taking the drugs, you're releasing the drugs within you. Like with ecstasy, tell me if I'm wrong. I think that what it does, it releases a whole lot of serotonin. Right.
Yeah.
So you get this big flush of feel good, but then you go into serotonin debt over the next.
Yeah, then you
days.
Come down, man.
Maybe it's like a dam or something. Maybe it holds back. Yeah. I don't know, but it's you're only releasing what you do yourself.
You come down from the drug.
The brain chemistry, you know, it's got a lot of goodies up there.
What did Marilyn Manson say? I say no to drugs, but they don't listen. Great quotes.
Okay.
You have a crack, and then I'll have a crack. Go for it.
Oh, mine's pretty broad.
Yeah, go on.
But I just reckon that there was a Saint Nick, and he took some magic mushrooms, and he came up with it. Because you think about it, flying around, reindeers that can fly.
Yes.
It sounds like something where you take something where it's a good like giving away gifts. Gets a little bit, has some magic mushrooms and come up with this great story and Coca-Cola gets hold of it and goes, oh, that's fantastic. And we'll put him in the South Pole and he'll fly down and the reindeers can fly.
How'd you come with that idea?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It's like the guys that did HR Puffin stuff. You know those guys.
Well, you look at that
that's
stuff
so
and you go.
All in the night garden and the Teletubbies. It's so trippy.
What's that classic movie with the Wizard of Oz?
Wizard of Oz.
That's got to be some shit going on there.
There's no
place
like home.
What about Picasso's paintings? Got to be
some shit going on there. Yeah.
Seriously, I don't want to be judgmental, but seriously.
What about Russell Coit? Oh man, they're off their trolley.
And seriously, all you got to do is take the pill and go, jot these ideas down.
Yeah.
That's my next song, painting, whatever.
No, that's the problem, though. When I used to smoke marijuana and you'd write down a comedy idea and you wake up the next day and they were always bad.
Yeah.
Be like, Orange Tram on Phillip Island. Like, what does that mean? That's not even funny. And you'd be sitting around with your mates pissing yourself laughing. Oh, this is good. Well, you know what? That's very similar to what I was going to say. I was going to say the man who designed Santa at Coca-Cola was on the Magic Mushies.
Okay. Well, that's okay.
Because
it does sound like it.
It does sound it. All right. Well, let's get the answer. What is the answer, Sam?
Hundreds of years ago each December in Serbian and Arctic regions, shamans dropped into locals' homes through their chimneys with a bag of red and white magic mushrooms. One effect of the magic mushrooms was a sense of flying. The shaman said they would then fly to the underworld, seek advice and return with the knowledge to pass it on to locals as a gift while sitting in the tent. In exchange for the knowledge of the underworld, locals would provide food for the shaman. It said that he would often arrive on a reindeer-drawn sled, and the reindeer themselves were also partial to eating the mushrooms which grew under conical pine trees. The shaman would often share the magic mushrooms with the families they visited. This northern shaman figure visiting yearly to give gifts and trip out on mushrooms, believing he's riding a flying sled, is very close to the modern image of Santa Claus. And there's a great video about it in the show notes. Be sure to check it out.
Wow. Santa giving out magic mushrooms.
Imagine getting up, get your present. I got my
Thunderbird.
Thunderbirds. I got a new bike.
Hula hoop.
And I got this mushroom.
And I'm going to try it now.
I'm going to eat that. I'm going to tell you what, that's going to make Christmas dinner much more.
Well, when I think about it now, when you look at with Santa and you see all those old pictures of Santa and he's off, there's always mushrooms in the pictures.
Yeah.
That red and white colour scheme.
Now, are the magic mushrooms red and white, or is it?
They're often, no.
Hang on.
No, the real. Oh, well, I think they're different in different hemispheres, but one's a bluey brownie, I think, by memory.
But Santa is red and white.
Yeah, so they've taken – he's got the mushroom colour scheme, which is interesting. The northern hemisphere traditional mushroom is red and white.
He must have known what he was doing.
Yeah.
He must have known that he's given stuff that's going to get the kids off their tits.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
What next? Easter Bunny's going to be giving out heroin? Bloody hell. What a shock.
Well, you know, all these things have their place.
Yeah, I suppose so.
If you're going to feel pretty good, Christmas isn't a bad time to do it.
True.
You know.
And also help the parents, because it's a very stressful time. You've got to get the turkey on.
Yeah.
People coming over. If everyone's on the mushrooms,
come over to your place. Having Christmas dinner, you don't. Oh, my. I am flying.
Where is everyone? They're outside in the backyard lying in the grass.
Yeah. Staring up.
Anyone want any turkey? Then anyone get the munchies and all come in and eat it.
Well, that's interesting because it's something that that's something you can talk about.
Yes.
To Nana at the Christmas table.
Yeah.
And say, you know, Saint Nick used to get magic mushrooms. You want to have this little tablet?
Well, maybe next family Christmas, I'd get my brother to go back to Warrandyte, where he used to go, and identify some mushrooms and bring them along and share them out. And say, this is a Christmas tradition. This is a forgotten one, but we're bringing it back.
How do they take them from when your brother or your friend or your special friend did it, he let them dry, and then you just ate the mushroom?
Yeah, we just ate them.
You didn't?
Didn't because cook them up in the pasta.
A friend of mine said he did it and he got a bit of blotting paper.
Oh.
Is that LSD?
That's LSD. That's different again. That's acid, man. LSD.
So LSD is different because it's psilocybin.
It's the same thing. It's the same similar thing, but the magic mushrooms are from nature, and those ones that your friend got on a little bit of paper are created in a lab somewhere.
And what about the ones I have on a pizza?
No, they're mushrooms. Yeah.
They don't.
Seriously, don't you love mushrooms though? No, I'm not talking about magic ones. Just normal mushrooms.
My dad used to have mushrooms, and he used to stink the kitchen out. He would.
Oh, so you don't like them?
I do now. I like them as just a mushroom, probably
in a pasta.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, I love mushrooms. Or what about when you have like bacon and eggs and some mushrooms on the side?
Yeah. Nice. Beautiful. But my dad used to put them in a pot and sort of they become sort of creamy.
Oh, yeah.
And they have them on toast.
Yeah.
Used to stink.
Yeah, my dad used to have braised steak and onion. Did he get them out of a can? I bet you got them out of a can too.
Oh, no, we used to go mushrooming.
Oh, yeah, mushrooming.
I was good, yeah, I could. And, of course, you have to know what a good one and a bad one is. And the good ones had the brown underneath, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't know, but you got to be careful. People died in Melbourne 2 years ago mushrooming. Yep, they died. Someone died.
Yeah, but they fell off a cliff.
Right. They took the magic ones and walked in front of a train, but sure.
So they ate something. And well, they died.
Yeah, they ate. Yep,
ate the wrong ones.
Yep.
So it's a bit.
You got to be careful.
It's Russian roulette.
Oh well, they had a mushroom expert on the radio the other day and said you just got to know what you're doing. It's just.
But when you say know what you're doing, you got to. Is there a chart? Can you look it up?
Yeah, you can.
So if you're going to get mushroom,
there are poisonous ones. That's the problem. But see, your dad would because that's old school. There was obviously no internet back then. It would have been passed down to him from his dad or someone, an uncle or someone, or a mushroom farmer, and said these are the good. Got to get these good mushrooms.
I reckon.
Where did you go mushrooming?
It was usually winter, long grass-ish, and they come after rain, don't they?
Yeah.
A good solid rain. It was usually up around central Victoria.
What a dad for you. going to go mushrooming.
Do you reckon all the vegetables get together? They go, like potato goes on, mate, chips and bananas.
Yeah.
Go, like, I'm so versatile.
I'm popular.
I can be dipped in chocolate. And then mushrooms goes, hey, fuck off. I can blow people's brains.
Oh, yeah, mushrooms. Yeah,
eat one of me and say goodbye.
You'll be on a trip. I don't think carrots are doing that.
Right, you're not part of the club.
Yeah, get out.
You're in a different section.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like that great joke, you know, where the mushroom goes to, it's not a great joke, it's a kid's joke, when he goes to the nightclub and the bouncer goes, you can't come in. No, mushrooms have their own night. And he goes, what do you mean? I'm a fun guy.
Should we get out on that?
Your animal handler would have laughed at that. Oh, fun guy. Love it.
You didn't hit fun guy. I'm a fun guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's no, fun.
I'm a fun guy.
Correcting Dave O'Neill on his delivery.
Oh, no.
No, that's all right.
That's cool. Like the other one where the bit of string tries to get in. What is it? Afraid not. I'm afraid not. Oh, God, they're the worst jokes ever.
That was not in a, was that in a, like a cracker? Or
yeah, they're like Christmas cracker jokes. Yeah.
You know why they're bad, don't you?
Why? They're puns. They're puns.
Yeah, they're bad because they unite people. Everyone is united, yes, not in the humour. They're so united true. In the badness of it.
So
go,
true.
If you go, oh, that's a bad one. I got a worse one.
Yeah.
So you come together. Rather than I did the joke and I didn't get a laugh, you go, how bad is this?
Yeah.
Or you go, guess it.
That's why this podcast is so popular.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.